got your Bible this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 31. Here in Hebrews it says, "By faithful Rahab perished not with them that believed not, and she had received the spies with peace." Father, this morning I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in the house of God. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be used in your will. I do pray, ask you, Lord, to help me this morning, and Lord, help me to do that which you'd have me to do and say those things which you'd have me to say. I do pray, ask you, Lord, take consideration on my heart. Lord, help me and guide me. Lord, Lord, remember this congregation that's here this morning in the teaching hour. I do pray, Lord, help us this morning. Help us to be obedient to your will, and Lord, to be observant to your ways, and Lord, hear the word of God as it is. And Lord, we'll certainly thank you and praise you, for it is in Christ that we do pray this morning. Amen. And this morning I'm going to be looking in Joshua chapter number 2, as far as the record of Rahab goes. And I want to look at a few things. I'm not going to go real deep into some different things, but I just want you to look at the record here of Rahab and the things that transpired around her at that point in time when she's in Jericho. It says here in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of Joshua, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Chittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And therefore, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you."
Yes.
I want you to keep in mind verse number 9, and we'll come back to that, but just keep in mind what was said there in verse 9. It said, verse number 10 says, "And for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, that ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt.
Yes.
Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath.
Yes.
Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all
that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye enter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way.
Yes.
Verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household come unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went, and they came into the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told them all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. I'm going to stop there, and I want to really kind of focus, of course, on Rahab, being we're in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and in that verse there, speaking 31, it speaks directly upon Rahab. But there are a few things I want to kind of bring to light and put out there first off. Think on it in this way, if you will, being this chapter here, here in Joshua, being the account of Rahab and the two spies that went into Jericho. You see, the two men were sent by Joshua into Jericho and into this land to spy it out, and they're looking and they're seeing what God has given them. They're kind of surveying things, so to speak. They're kind of getting an idea, hey, what are we coming up against here? And truly, as the men kind of witnessed lay there in the scripture there, it says they went back to Joshua and told him, say, truly the Lord did give us this land, but you got to look at also the faithfulness of Rahab and the part she played in how all these things came to pass and how they came to fruition. I mean, God's already given the land to the Israelites, no doubt, according to the Word of God. But we see Rahab, a Gentile, a person that wasn't necessarily an Israelite. They're outside the fold of God. They're just as ourselves. We're not the chosen people as Israelite people are. But you see Rahab, a Canaanite, that she wasn't in the fold of God. She wasn't one of the chosen people, but yet here she is showing kindness to these two spies. Now, being within yourself, if you look at today's society, how many of you can honestly say, if you've seen two individual strangers out in your yard or out and about doing whatever they're going to do, how many of you could show kindness to them in that kind of way, knowing, say, if our country was under imminent attack and you had confirmation within yourself of things to come for an attack or what is to come, how many of you could show kindness to strangers who are coming into your country, a strange land, and going to take over that land? Because that land was given to them by God. But how many of you could, within yourself, honestly show kindness to somebody like that? You got to look at also how Rahab, I mean, you look at Rahab there, you know, according to the scripture in Hebrews, it says by faith, Rahab. So there's an understanding there, according to the scripture here in Joshua, Rahab also already has an understanding. Hey, the Israelites are coming. This land is given unto the Israelite people. That's her statement there. She said that she understood that, and that was coming to pass. So there's an understanding within yourself. If you look at Rahab's story here, or the account of Rahab, if you look at that in the sense of a Gentile people being saved, born again, outside of the fold of God, I would say I kind of fall into that category, so to speak. I wasn't born a Jew. I wasn't born an Israelite. I was born a Gentile. And yet God showed kindness to me. But there, I had an understanding and a knowledge that, hey, God is real. He is the God of heaven and earth. And I have to obey Him. I have to do what is necessary and follow His way. Because the land of Canaan and that land that Jericho set upon was due to the Israelite people, given by God. Now, if she would have went against that, or if she would have opposed that, I'd say she probably met the same fate as Jericho. She probably would have failed. But that's not what I want you to see or understand. It's not about what ifs, it's about what did happen. It's a lot of things to really think about within ourselves as far as how this applies to each and every one of us. By faith, Rahab showed kindness to an Israelite people.
Yes.
People who were supposedly coming in, intruders, coming for the land, coming for everything that they had. Yet she showed kindness.
Right.
That's a little bit difficult to kind of comprehend or acknowledge there. And not only that, did she show them kindness, but she lodged them, being that she hid them from the authorities or powers that be. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me tonight, and I wist not whence they were." Basically, she turned around and said, "I don't know where they went." So she hid them from the authorities. So she hid them from the men that knew they come in there. So she willingly went against her people, her ways, her laws, so to speak, her king. So she willingly turned against all those things. She willingly turned away from the world.
Yeah.
Is that not a wonderful picture of a sinner saved by grace, a turning, or a repenting right there? That's a wonderful picture right there if you apply it to yourself.
Yeah.
A picture of oneself repenting and turning away from the world and going towards God and going towards His way.
Yes.
It's not necessarily granted. This is, you know, a lot as far as the teaching hour goes. This is based upon history, based upon the account of Rahab. But also, you got to look at it in the sense of how is this going to apply to me? And whenever you look at that in the same sense as Rahab turned away from her way, her people, her laws, her king, and turned to the Israelite way, and hid those Israelite spies. When you look at that, how can you apply that to yourself? Because I was, at one point, I was a lost sinner doing it my way, trying to live according to what I wanted, lust of my flesh, and doing my kind of thing. And yet there was one point in time that I had to hear the Word of God. I mean, as a child, I did come in here. I have heard the Word of God throughout my life at one point or another. I had a man of God, a saved, born-again man that was praying for me, my grandfather. I don't know how many others there were, but I know of his account because he witnessed unto me about it. But, you know, there has to be a hearing. A person, I mean, granted, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach lest they be sent? So apparently at one point or another, there was a witness unto Rahab of what has transpired upon the Israelite people. I mean, she even said that. She even witnessed to that according to the scripture to those two men that came in secretly spying.
Yes.
She had an understanding. Say, hey, look, this has already transpired at the Red Sea. This has already transpired against those two across Jordan. This has already come to pass, and I understand and know, hey, this is what God has already laid out and come to, and said, this is the true God, this is the true way. What do I need to do? But you say, basically, in short, that's what she's saying. Hey, what do I need to do to save that? My house and my home. Oh, woe is me. I mean, granted, it says here, it says that she was a harlot. Now, at one point in her life, I don't know where she was at, but if she had some kind of kindness to these men, apparently she had to have some kind of moral kindness. It's not necessarily, oh, I'm just going to be kind just in spite of myself. But there was actual true heartfelt kindness to these men if she was going to hide them, and she had a fear of God and a fear of things to come.
Yes.
I can honestly say, within myself, I have hurt people before and said, hey, I'm sorry, and not really meant it. It could have been so easy for her to say, yeah, I'll hide you. Hey, they're in there. Go get them. It'd been so easy for her to do that, make her look like she's trying to hide them and everything, but it'd be within her heart been false and fake. But apparently, even though she was a harlot, even though she was a sinner, even though she was not of the Jew or Israelite people of that faith, she still had an understanding and realization and a kindness that was true within herself and her heart, a willingness to turn to God and turn to that way. So we have to look at Rahab in her life and say, hey, how's her life? How's her morality? Because apparently she was a harlot. And apparently at one point or another, I was a whoremonger, and I was a drunk, and I run the roads, and I done all these things. So apparently there's a similar kind of thing there within her life and my life. So maybe I need to kind of mirror myself here. Maybe I need to turn God's way. At one point, if you've ever been born again, maybe you can see yourself in that mirror there. You ever thought about that?
Right.
You ever thought about how God saved you? I'm not talking about, yeah, I remember that. That's in memory, but I'm talking about sit down and think about it and really study on it and how God saved you and what He did for you.
Yes.
I mean, you can see an account here. I mean, granted, I mean, it's just a different person. It's a different time. But yet, the account given here in chapter 2 of Joshua, of Rahab, and the things that transpired come to pass. You look, and we'll follow up there a little bit later on what happened after the Jericho fell, and after her family, and during the time where her family was brought out. But what I want you to see at the point in time, how does this mirror with me?
Right.
Because it does. Of every true born-again believer, there is a mirrored image here of your life.
Sure.
Maybe they're not. Maybe there won't be an exact same thing. Hey, she lived up on a wall. Maybe I need to live on that. No, it's not going to be an exact kind of mirror. But far as the spiritual application, everything that transpired in her life at that point in time happened within yours if you've ever been born again. So you can kind of relate here and know the true salvation. Now, if you will, turn with me over to chapter 6 of Joshua. We'll go into that for just a moment. I ain't got a few verses there that I want to look at. And this is after the fall of Jericho. In verse number 22, it says, Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had.
Yes.
And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, and only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass, and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho.
Yes.
I want you to notice one key phrase at the moment in time. It says, in Israel, even unto this day.
That sounds like a, not saved, but just right there, but saved throughout. Is that not a picture there of complete salvation?
Yes.
Is that not also a picture within yourself? If you look at that, once saved until the day of redemption?
Yes.
That's a big acknowledgement there. Not only that did she live after all that, but she brought out all her kindred and her family as well.
Yes.
So what is that? How can we take that in the general application of ourselves? If you look at it in a sense of, and I'm not saying you could just drag your people, loved ones into your home and kind of force them into this way, but what I'm saying is her actions and her life also saved her loved ones and her family.
Yes. Right.
Even though she was a harlot, even though she had that testimony of being a harlot, her life and her works helped be a salvation unto her family and her kindred.
Yes, sir.
As sinful as she was, her obedience and her willingness to turn and her willingness to repent and follow God and be in there in His way provided a complete salvation for her household and her family and all that she possessed. Can you not see that within yourself? Being born again, we ought to be thinking about how that applies within our walk, our daily walk.
Yes.
I mean, Rahab. I mean, I look at myself. I mean, I really was. I was a low down, dirty Gentile dog. I mean, I pick with him a lot at work on that. I mean, I call him that, and we pick and play. But hey, that is a true statement.
Yeah.
I was worthless. I mean, even as a young teenager, I mean, I lived down the road from Keith and Laurie. And Lord, I know they had to hate my guts for getting out there on that hot rod all the time. I know they're not the only ones either. I was a low down. I had the testimony of a crazy nut job, crazy boy out there doing all kinds of crazy mess. And yet here I am standing before you talking about the things of God and how good He is and seeing how God has changed my life and saved me and brought me out of that mess and give me a new life and a new way.
Yes. Amen. Thank God for that.
Oh, lowly man that I am.
Yes.
I can't but help and see myself in Rahab. I can't help but see my mirrored image there. It didn't go into detail about how all these things that she did in her life. It just said, basically said she's a harlot. In other words, hey, it's acknowledging, hey, I'm a sinner. That's a simple fact right there. That's all it really is.
Yes.
It's an acknowledgement, hey, I'm a lost, low down, dirty dog sinner. And I need God. And she had that realization. She had that acknowledgement. Of course, she had a testimony of and knowing and seeing these things come to pass. How God was working for His people and what He was doing within His people and how He brought them out in slavery. How He got them into the wilderness and how He took care of them there. And how He got them to Jordan and how He's getting ready to give them the land of Canaan. She's seen that. She had an acknowledgement of that.
Yes, sir.
Just as any sinner has an acknowledgement. Hey, I'm lost. And I see how these people, my grandfather, were praying for me. I see how this man of God was standing and preaching the Word of God and doing all these things. I see the acknowledgement, hey, that's God and that's His way and that's what I need to follow after. That's the way I need to turn.
Yes.
So apparently she had the acknowledgement, hey, I'm a lost sinner and I need to turn that way. I need to follow that way. I need to look after God and try to find Him and try to get in His way.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm telling you, you can also make application to the world today. Any kind of person, any kind of world, any kind of nation that turns against God and His people and His way, swift is destruction.
Yes, sir.
I can see this nation today as it is, being as Jericho was, as Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what? All of them are gone. It's come to pass. They were destroyed. They were burned into oblivion. But hey, Rahab was saved of that. There's destruction coming, in other words. Judgment's coming for this world. Judgment's coming on sin. Judgment's coming on all things. Now, whether or not you're in God's way, in His power, in His sanctifying way, in His saving grace and power,
yes, we
got to look at that and make general application. It's just common sense. You know, when the Bible says, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it, that's not talking about just general salvation, but hey, you need to teach them to do more right and do right and seek after things that are right. Granted, they're flesh and they're not going to, but hey, there's a general application in this right here. Say, hey, maybe I need to be a testimony in front of my children, even though I've got to teach them to do right and live right. Maybe I need to be a testimony of how God is good. Because at one point or another, the children of Israel was brought up to do right and follow the law and the way, but it doesn't depend upon the law and the way. It depends upon Him and His grace and His goodness, and turning to Him and trusting Him and let Him lead and save you. That's what it really comes down to. And we got to look at that. And not just in a, hey, okay, glancing, passing fancy, glancing, you know, through there. Oh, wow, that's awesome. Okay. We got to go a little deeper than that in there.
Yes.
We have to really meditate on how God really saved Rahab there. Because apparently she's probably a little older in life at that point. Because, I mean, if she had a home, she was known as a harlot. So apparently she was already established in life. So it's not as if she was some spring chicken that was out there running around trying to do her own thing, stubborn, hard-headed. That's me. My wife can probably attest to that. I'm still stubborn and bull-headed, but that make me no less saved. Don't mean I have to turn to God and trust Him every single day. You know, this is only one instance where Jericho had fallen. If she had to turn and trust God. I mean, granted, that's a picture of salvation, but, you know, there's going to be a Jericho falling every day. I'm not saying we're going to get in our sin, but we need to look at God every day, trust Him every day, repent every day, seek after Him every day. You know, the Bible says, make yourselves a living sacrifice. Hey! God gave us a sacrifice, His Son, out on the cross. He gave it willingly, so why can't we just give some things up willingly? And seek after Him. You know, some different things that has really helped me. I mean, I took the TV out of the living room because it was taken away from my studying time. I made it a little bit quieter in my house. Took all those little radios and stuff that I used to have in there. Granted, I have one still yet sitting in my living room. I listen to some preaching on here and there. But anything that I could find that really stopped me in my tracks from studying and seeking after God, I got rid of it. I think I can see within Rahab's life, I think she got rid of a few things there. She got rid of a few chains that were holding her down. A few things that were pulling on her. And just turned to one that could save her.
Yes.
Because is that not what repent really is? Turning away from all these things in the world, turning away from that life and that way and turning to another way?
Yes.
Maybe we ought to think about how we might be able to make ourselves more presentable as a sacrifice every day. I mean, because apparently also, I mean, within the church, I know we say it numerous times. You know, save my family, my loved ones. Save my babies and my grandbabies and my brothers and sisters and mama and daddies. I mean, we say that quite often. I mean, would a woman not, you know, bring her children in their house and lock the door? Pour it all out in the house? Rahab brought all her kindred inside the house and shut the door. That's a picture of isolation with God. We ought to isolate ourselves from the world. We ought to isolate ourselves from all things that are not of God.
Right.
I want you to think on one other thing, and then I'll be done. I want you to think about that scarlet thread outside the window.
Yeah.
I can't. This is one of the more important things I want you to focus on. That scarlet thread. What else is referred to as scarlet in the Bible? And the blood was as scarlet. So apparently there was a scarlet note there that kind of said, hey, they're mine. I believe there's a little bit of scarlet within me somewhere saying, that's mine. I guess it's safe to say that scarlet thread outside the window that was bound outside the window is a picture of the blood and a picture of salvation, and that's what we need to look at as well for the salvation of our home. That picture of salvation, that scarlet thread being a picture of the blood. That same blood, if you want to look at it in Egypt that was plastered over the doorpost, that same blood that was given out on Calvary. Granted, it's symbolic in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is salvation. But I want you to understand it came through the blood. And it came through. And it's the only way is through His blood. It's the only way through Him and the cross. You ever thought about that? That scarlet thread? How important that scarlet thread really was. Granted, it took the repenting, the turning, took that scarlet thread, took that isolation of, and cutting away from the world and turning away from the world and bringing your family in and getting them away from the world. So that's a complete picture of salvation right there in the Old Testament. Things to come. Thank God for that. The saving of the Gentile people. God was going to save them. God was going to make a way. God saved them, and it's going to be a complete salvation into the day of redemption. We already had that promise. It was coming. It's amazing how we can stand here now and look back then and say, God is good. You see how good He is, and He already made provision for us to be saved and be born again. In spite of ourselves. How good God really is, and we don't acknowledge it this day. He already made a way long before the way was already done. So, that's something to think about, ain't it? That's a good thing to see first thing in the morning, see the blood, amen. See how good He is. So He can give a complete salvation not only to you, but all your family and loved ones. It don't take much, really. It's a lot on our part, or so it seems, until after the fact, and say, hey, that really wasn't nothing. Just how good God really is. Father, this morning, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for what You've given. Lord, I know it's scattered. I know it's all over the place. And God, I do want to know, and within myself, it wasn't in vain. I know within myself, God, Your Word is true. I pray, and God, ask You, Lord, to touch and help these people that's here this morning. Lord, use this Word to touch and help them and heal them, God. Bring them into the realization within themselves of how good God really is. God, bring it back. Give us revival one more time, God, I pray. Help us draw us closer to Yourself, God. Lord, I pray all these things as our services continue to go on. I pray, God, that You take control, Lord. Take the reins of this service, Lord. I pray, may You, Lord, be honored in it. Lord, I do pray, fill the pastor with power. God, Lord, use him this morning. And Lord, we'll certainly thank You and pray You may all honor and all glory in all things. For it is in Christ that we do pray. Amen and amen.